Hi, everybody. Before we begin this podcast, I wanted to give you a heads up that we're going to release some shows that were pre-recorded before COVID-19, before the pandemic really started to affect our businesses. Here on the podcast and in the school, we've put out quite a bit of COVID-19 content or pivoting, going virtual, and we'd love to get back to focusing on things like creating different business models and all of the things that really help make our businesses grow. I didn't want you to miss out on some really terrific shows, but I did want to make you aware so that you might adjust some of the ideas to suit today's climate. Let's say if someone's talking about running live events, just take a look at it through the idea of going virtual instead. I think you know what I mean. There's no question that it's not business as usual. It's going to be a long haul with this pandemic. But let's just keep moving forward. Okay, here we go.
Welcome to the Wealthy Speaker Podcast, a show that offers you tips and strategies to help speakers build the business of their dreams. Now, here's your host, 30-year industry veteran and business coach, Jane Atkinson.
Hey, welcome everyone to the Wealthy Speaker Podcast. I'm your host, Jane Atkinson, and today we are talking about hope. Inspiring hope, the power of hope, the need for hope. We're going to cover all of it with our special guest and hope expert, Libby Gill. Welcome, Libby.
Thank you, Jane. So good to be here with you.
Now, I have known you in lots of different forms. You kind of have come onto the speaking world quite a while ago now. We've known each other for probably over a decade for sure.
Right.
Tell everybody a little bit about your career and business path, just to kind of bring them up to speed.
Sure. I had the great good fortune. My first job was at a television production company started by Norman Lear, who was, you know, anybody maybe my age or a television geek, he's the guy that created All in the Family and all these sitcoms for many years, very forward-thinking man. Mm-hmm. And I thought, what a great opportunity. Here's this small company. I'm going to learn everything. I'm going to get to know everybody. And in about 5 minutes, that company was bought by Columbia Pictures, then by Coca-Cola, and then by Sony. And I just kept riding the wave. I was too young to know really what I was doing, but I just felt like I should raise my hand. And in 5 years, I ended up the head of publicity, advertising, and promotion for Sony's Worldwide TV Group. And so it was really about, okay, I'm gonna step up and lead, whatever that might mean. I think I'll do that instead of hide under my desk. And then I went on to Turner Broadcasting, and then I went to Universal and headed up corporate communications, all of the sort of marketing communications functions. And then when I felt like there's nowhere else to go, I literally was as high as one could go in that area, it was time to do something new. And I kid you not, I read about coaching in Newsweek magazine. And it was brand new. It was like life coaches, ha ha ha, you know, what are they? And I thought, you know, that's such a combination of teaching, training, helping people on their career paths. And my favorite thing at the studios, besides the communication and the branding element, was taking my team of baby publicists and turning them into superstar executives. And I thought, that kind of ticks all the boxes for me. I think I'll do that. And I just started my own business. And I, you know, I'd never had a business. I was in my 40s. And I just thought, you know, I'll give this a shot. And then I started writing books. I wrote my first book while I was still at Universal. They just all scratched their heads and looked at me like I was out of my mind. Yeah. And I just kept going. And then I wrote a book, what year old Bureau? I wrote another book that came to the attention of International Speakers Bureau. And you were already gone in your own business by then, of course. But that got me started in the speaking world. And I started there. I had not a clue what I was doing.
Tell us some of the book titles. How many books have you written now?
I've written six. The six is coming out this year. The first book I wrote back in my studio days was called Stay at Home Dads. It was about women as the breadwinners and men as the caregivers.
Fascinating. And Norman Lear must have rubbed off on you being a bit of a renegade there.
There was just, it was what we had done. And in the creative world, you see so many actors and musicians and producers where somebody's got to have the stable paycheck. That was me. Yeah. And my then husband stayed home with the kids when they were little. And so I thought, I don't want to write about PR. I've been doing that for so long. Let me do something new. And it came out the week, now looking at what happens during crisis times, that first book came out the week of 9/11.
Oh my gosh.
And I thought, well, and we had, you know, back in the day when they set up your book tour and all that, everything was canceled.
Yeah.
And I just had to sit back because it was like, now, who am I to talk about my little book in the middle of this crisis?
Right.
And so I just sat back for a couple months, and then I began to see stories about women that were deployed. Women that went into, you know, that were deployed into,
right,
into action, and men were home with the kids. And I thought, well, there's a pivot, there's an opportunity. And I started talking to military women and men that were at home. And I ended up on all these radio shows and Time Magazine. And it was pretty controversial. I mean, those New York talk shows, they came after me like,
Helen,
women as the breadwinners, what are you talking about? And it was so much fun. I thought, you know, let me add
on. Well, you have this PR mind, right? So you're always scanning to connect the dots.
Yeah.
And when you see women being deployed, which lots were after 9/11, right? Lots of people stepped up and said, I will serve.
Right.
And then you're like, oh, opportunity.
Right.
So, okay, there's so many questions for you, Libby, but I'm wondering if you have thought of your old television and movie world during what's going on here. They are not immune.
No.
They have been affected and impacted. I'm sure lots of movie studios have shut down and productions and TV shows, mm-hmm. you know, put on hold or whatever. Like, yeah. Have you thought about your old
industry? Well, I coach in the entertainment all the time. So my clients are all the major studios. So yeah, they were hit with it just like everybody else, particularly production, because you can't be face-to-face. There are some jobs like editing and some music that you can do from home. But yeah, production has come to a standstill. And that's a third of Los Angeles is in this industry.
And release. Yeah, it's crazy. You know, it just boggles my mind. Every time we go out for a drive in the car, mm-hmm. I see more and more layers of impact. There's entire residential building going on across the road from us. That's all come to a screeching halt. And I think about all of the companies that may not be able to withstand all of this cash flow.
Right. Yeah.
So talk about your personal experience with COVID. You probably had a nice calendar coming into first and second quarters, right? Bye-bye, right?
All gone.
Yeah.
Everything's gone.
So like your post 9/11, everything's gone. That was a lot more money on the line this time, I'm sure, because you had a lot of speaking fees, right?
Yeah. And of course, you know, I had my early moments of panic, and I had last year was the best year I think ever had. It was a great year. And so I had this, you know, I just fell apart. This, you know, it's like, I've worked so hard to build this business and now it's all gone. And I had a couple of days of that. My husband finally said to me, I think you're in panic mode. You think I'm in panic mode? It's like,
what do you know?
So, you know, I got that out of my system and I just bounced back. And you're talking about television, look at movies. Look, it's Saturday Night Live. Who would have thunk it? You know, there all these people are, and they've figured it out. They've adapted. It's not what it used to be, but, you know, it'll come back. So I thought, what is the best use? You know, and I reached out to clients, and some things moved to webinars and virtual presentations. And then I thought, what do I really love? And what's going to feed me and maybe other people? And I don't mean feed, like, financially.
Yeah.
And I started a live coaching group. We are now every Wednesday at noon, all are welcome. Anybody wants to join us. And a lot of people signed up and people come and go. And now there's this amazing core group. And I look at our little boxes on Zoom and we have a bit of a formula so that we talk about, you know, cheers and challenges of the week. Mm-hmm. What's gone well? What hasn't? How are we feeling? What are we doing? What are we believing? All of those things. And then we've started to do a member spotlight. So somebody gets half of that time.
Oh,
and they talk about, yeah, one woman had, we did last week, has her whole business is built on live group experiences and interaction face to face. And she just was convinced there was nothing she could do. And this group circled around and said, oh no, here.
Wait a second.
She's going to go right back into her business and just reinvent for the time. And that's been so, I mean, I leave happier than anybody because I just feel like I'm doing my thing. It feels good. People are grateful.
Now, who did you target for that?
Well, first it was my own, you know, people on my mailing list, people that, and I just put out a notice and then put it on my social media platforms. If you're feeling that you're feeling the pain of this time, you need a, you're lonely, you need a sense of community, and you want to be purposeful and productive in this time, however you define that, because, you know, we're not there beating the, you know, you into action. Some people really needed to just kick back. And other people said, I want to, you know, I'm going to do something with this time. And we've stayed on track. So we really identified, very much the way I do as a coach, we identified where you want to be at the end of this period. And I said, let's assume it's 90 days. It's a quarter. That's and we started this, you know, a month ago.
Yeah.
It's a quarter. Where do you want to be at the end of this? And is it realistic? Is it doable? Is it within your control? And we're just marching forward.
Well, ironically, not ironically, it's more of a segue. What you gave people was hope.
Yeah.
In that moment, you had them looking out 90 days rather than at today. And and kind of, you know, we might have felt like we were all kind of swimming around in the muck there for a little while. And you gave them something to look at, which was very hope driven. And so let's talk about hope. I mean, my goodness, is there an area of this world right now that doesn't need hope?
No, there's not. I mean, we all need it because our world is forever changed. And we are needing to react, not unlike 9/11, where all these TSA things and everything changed, and now we're used to it.
Yeah.
So the world will change in ways in terms of how we interact. Maybe it'll start with small groups, grow to larger groups. Much of it is based on what science does and when we're able to have a vaccine or some sort of immunity, and then we'll recover a bit at a time. But it's so important that people still have a sense of what is doable and what is possible in this moment that connects them to that future. And I feel like, you know, big business, they got to look at 20 years and 10 years and all that. I can't do that. To me, that's an invitation to get, you know, hit by a bus or something. I got to look at, but I can, I think in 1 year or 18 month increments in terms of business, I can write a book in a year. I can make sure I launch a course in a year. I can change direction in my business model. So that to me is just the logical extension. So when you pull that back to quarters and months and weeks and days, then you begin to bite off those pieces, but you've got that end goal. You know where you want to go.
So good. And I have to tell you, I think it was a week or maybe two ago that I listened to a podcast. I follow Brooke Castillo quite closely, and I'm in her Self-Coaching Scholars, and she did a piece on setting impossible goals. And she had us set an impossible goal just for this quarter.
Yeah.
It wasn't for the whole year. It was just for this quarter. And so I did, and I felt far more empowered after setting that goal than I did before. And, you know, all kinds of ideas have, I think maybe hope stimulates a goal, which then stimulates ideas.
Well, the basis of hope, and this was just something that was personally relevant to me. I grew up in a household with alcoholism and mental illness. It was, you know, one of those backgrounds. And hope meant every day was going to be a little better. When I was a teenager, my dad was a physician and, you know, science, family, and very sort of serious and all that kind of stuff and completely disconnected. I remember sneaking home the book. It was a 60s self-help, one of those early classics called Psycho-Cybernetics. I snuck that into my house and devoured it. I hid it under the mattress like it was a Playboy or something.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want anybody to make fun of me. But I was always that seeker looking for how do I make each day better? How do I make this year better? I mean, I was in high school carrying around, kids don't even know what these are today, but file of facts. You know, I had my days scheduled. I had my goals. I had to figure it out. And, you know, even when I started speaking, I didn't run into a Jane Atkinson until I was so far in, was like, oh my gosh, you would have saved me a decade. Because I didn't know what to focus on and what was relevant and what was going to get me booked. That took so long. Yeah. And once I started figuring it out, then I found smart people like you. And then through you, another smart person, Chris West. Mm-hmm. But it's always this vision of, it's this lifelong learning attitude. And it's always going to get better. And like you said, you set an impossible goal. Maybe you won't hit it in a quarter, but you'll hit that next best thing.
Yeah, you'll have fun trying for sure. Yeah. I like that a lot. Talk about when your business all went away, which happened probably sometime mid-March.
Yep.
You were able to transition a lot of things perhaps to virtual. What did that look like? What were the clients asking you for instead of or in conjunction with, like, have you put together some packages? What are people asking you for right now?
Well, interestingly, you were one of the early believers when I had an ebook about hope and about the science of hopefulness called Hope Theory. And I was approached by a couple different publishers, wrote that, was hopeful that it would just take off, and people kind of scratched their heads at first.
Yeah.
And I had to recalibrate about leading through change and challenge. And I sort of made that the sub message. Now people are really interested in this idea of hope, particularly when they understand. And I've made it, with Chris's help, with your help, I've made it much more strategy-based so that there is the story, why this is important to me. And it's, you know, it's a compelling story. I've told you a little bit about a drunken weekend wrapped in a mink coat that I inherited after my stepmother committed suicide. Wow. So that was like, whoa, big drama in that story. And that's sort of the backstory of the purpose. And then it's about the science of hope. What is hope theory about? What are the experts? How did I apply that to the workplace? And then it's the strategies, which are, you know, as everybody says, they want the takeaways. I think really they want an experience. Sometimes it comes with lots of takeaways. Sometimes it comes with one big, you know, headlight takeaway. But when I was able to really, really articulate and define those, particularly the process, and now I call it the True Hope process. I've trademarked that.
Nice.
And people get that now. They get, oh, this is not just an abstract idea. This is based on... Yeah, this is based on science and your personal experience and this sort of this four-step. Now I've made it a very clear four-step process that I can lead people through, and they can take that with them and apply it to their own lives.
Okay, so that's what's at the other end for a client. And would you say that that's the majority of your work right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the majority. And also
Selling. The good news is, Libby, hope is selling. Woohoo! Who knew that we would take a pandemic to make it so front and center? But
yeah,
it
makes sense to people now who first hear that, you know, we're in overwhelm, we're uncertain, we don't know how to lead our teams. How do we get to just baseline of, ooh, I can take a deep breath now.
Yeah.
And then I can walk them through this process, and it's pretty straightforward and simple.
Okay, so you got your process set out, and when people called and said, okay, our live event is not happening, first quarter, second quarter, whatever, did you start to transition people over to virtual work then? Are you packaging things together? Give me some of the nuts and bolts about how you're delivering your hope now.
Well, because I'm in California, and one of the first counties that was hit was Silicon Valley, Santa Clara, which I had a March 9th event there. Went away even before the stay-at-home orders. They were smart people, and they said, we're sending everybody home. So that was that. We are looking at transitioning. Some things have transitioned to almost the keynote done on an online presentation. Others have asked for a half an hour and then a 15-minute Q&A.
Right.
And that really works. And in my coaching that I do, and I've always used Zoom. So fortunately for me, that part was
no big deal at all. Yeah.
Even though still there are plenty of clients that are here in LA that want me to show up. They want me in the office, but they've now figured out, oh, okay, this works.
This is how I've done it always.
I know.
People wanted to meet with me, they, you know, would come in for a day and it would cost a lot more. Do you have access to a studio in your backyard that you could go to if somebody wanted to have you deliver a really high-end keynote where it's you with a beautiful backdrop? And
I do. I have a gorgeous here. I'll give you a little picture out my window here. Oh, it's too bright probably, but you know, I've got a huge backyard. I've got a courtyard that I frequently work in. The piece that it's not completed yet, and this was just started as all of this happened, was a new website, a new video, and I'm working with Chris West on that. So I don't quite have that package. I will before this is all over, because I'm near the tail end of that.
But what I was thinking for you was there are probably studios right around you where a client could hire out that studio and you could actually go in it, you know, with the big cameras,
all
of the, you know, two or three cameras and do up a really nice production.
Yeah.
I think that's happening for virtual keynotes.
Yes.
You know, for you to do any of the other work, you could do it right from exactly where you are and it looks beautiful. Yeah.
And I also have a green screen, which I use frequently. Mm-hmm. I can put anything in on that and I can light it from home. But yes, there are studios, small studios. You know, we're still on this stay at home until May 15th. And even don't know if that's going to get extended. So I did a photo shoot here this weekend, though. So, and we were able to distance and do what we needed to do.
And so, Chris Young, who you know, she works for a production house in Minneapolis, Heroic Productions, and they have it set up so that the speaker comes through a different door and it's all very safe. And they have three studios all set up ready to rock and roll there in Minneapolis. And I figured you're right. That's your backyard, right? Studios are right. And nothing's going on at those studios, so maybe you can use them.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get back to hope. You know, sometimes we get the news that, wow, this is going to take a while to come back.
Right?
This is not, 9/11 was rough and a lot of things changed, but I don't know that the meetings industry needed to really reevaluate everything on such a scale that it is right now. So what do you do for yourself personally to dig into your own hope science to help you propel forward into the future and not feel bleak about what's coming?
You know, I got all the bleakness, not that it, you know, things don't come and go, out of my system with that one giant panic attack. And that got rid of a lot of it. But one thing I've found to recharge is, and fortunately the sun is shining, the weather's been beautiful, it's springtime. I am, and a lot of people in Los Angeles and other places are commenting on birdsong. I'm in right in the middle of the city, but we have a very enclosed, beautiful backyard. And we're watching this pair of birds build a nest in our little ficus tree.
Awesome.
And we watch them every day swooping down with these twigs and we can see this little nest growing. And it's just, and talk about a slow down experience. So that's part of it. And then I use my own process that I preach to others.
So can you tell us a little bit about your process?
Sure. And this is all based on the science of hope as a belief that change is possible. And it's just the fundamentals and an expectation that it is your actions that drive the outcome. So when you believe that impossible goal, the first step is to clarify that vision.
Okay.
And this can be your big picture vision of life. It can be as small as what do I want to accomplish on this one podcast? I tend to, as I said, I look at quarters. And so I really identify what is the best possible vision of the future. And then is it within my power to control, to make happen? This is not dependent on the universe saying, oh, it's okay now.
Right.
It's what I have to do.
Okay.
It's also identifying, and this works for organizations and individuals, identifying the beliefs that need to shift. So that's the first step.
Okay, good.
The second step is to simplify the pathway. I think we are compelled as overthinking human beings.
Yes.
To make things. Sometimes I'll ask an audience, any overthinkers in the room? It's like every hand, certainly every woman's hand, but most of the men.
Yeah.
And for leaders inside organizations, take that vision, or even to yourself, articulate that to the widest audience possible.
Right.
Get out there in front of people saying, this is where we're going.
Okay.
This is how I see it. Then get feedback. Solicit. What do you need from me? What are the resources and tools you need? Oh, you don't really know how to use Zoom or go to webinar. Let me train you and teach you on that.
Okay.
Then you've got to look at the obstacles. First of all, the mindset issues, are they in your head?
This number three.
We're on two. We're just
okay.
on
Okay, you're still on two. Okay.
Look at the obstacles, whether they are mindset issues or real world issues. Gee, yeah, I can't get any closer than 6 feet. That's a real world issue that we have to deal with. Oh, I'm so scared. There's nothing that I can do. That's a mindset issue.
Right.
So how do we manage those?
Okay,
so you've got your vision. You've looked at what does this pathway need to make it as simple and clean as possible.
Love it.
Next, you've got to execute the plan. This is where you move into action. You take that vision, you transform it. This is where you chunk it down. You do your quarterly plan or your monthly plan, however you best plan for the future.
Yeah.
And right now, it's the near future because we don't know what's happening. Mm-hmm. So plan the next quarter. I figure in 90 days, we're going to be emerging in some sense. It's going to look a lot different, but now get ready. Now I want to make sure that website is finished, that video is finished, all the packages are put together. They're already, you know, in the works and working, but at a broader scale.
Okay.
And then you've got to look at, if you're managing a team, assign the oversight, the responsibilities, the ownership. I've built my team in this time, and I am, knock on wood, I've kept them all on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've done practical things. I've looked at the SBA loans. I know you've got your version in Canada. One of my coaching group members is in Australia. They've got their version. You know, everybody's looking at, does that work for me and my business? So,
sure. Okay, so this is still a part of execute, right?
Execute your plan. And then you start moving forward. And one thing as you do this is balance the accountability, however you do that with your own team, your accountability partner, mm-hmm. with flexibility. You can't set this plan in motion and say, this is it, I'm doing it, especially today. You want to be accountable to hitting those big objectives.
Yeah.
But there are still some curves along the way.
There's going to be more bobbing and weaving to come and pivots. Yes, for sure. Okay, good.
And then the fourth step is you review what you're doing. You reflect on, is it working, is it not? If it's working, you repeat it and build it. If it's not working, you course correct. So it's just review, reflect, repeat.
That's
the fourth step.
I love it. Do you have all this on any type of graphic yet?
I do have it on a graphic.
Can we share that?
Oh, I don't have it any that I can pull up. I'm going to send it to you though. I will get one.
Okay, yeah. No, I wasn't asking you to share on the video right now, but I would love to put it in the show notes if that's okay.
Absolutely.
Yes, okay.
And I've got an article as well that really goes through the story. And I think this is a good way for a keynote. And Chris and I worked on this. And you've set it all into motion. It's the story, the science, and the strategy.
You know, when you look at this, you would never say that this is what gets you to hope. Clarify vision, simplify path, execute plan, review, reflect, repeat. This is all very corporate-ese language, and yet the outcome is hope. Like, I think you've really ding-ding-ding-ding-dinged onto something here because, I mean, you're packaging it up in something that we think, hope. You know, back 10 years ago, if we were trying to sell this, I think the label on hope would have been differently perceived than today. But now I see your formula. I'm like, of course, that's actually, there's nothing fluffy about this at all.
No, it's really not fluffy. And then on the leadership side, the deeper dive into it is, so how are you going to do all this? You're not going to learn it in an hour and walk away and say, yay. So from a speaker business model perspective, you want to learn more about how to communicate this to your team, how to create a sense of stability in the midst of chaos. let me help you with that.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah. You want to infuse your culture with this sense of, oh, we understand the future. We connect to our role within it. Mm-hmm. That's how. Now we're going to sit back, leaders, our leadership team. We're going to reflect on how are we doing? What do we want to continue? What do we want to change? It's those different elements that can each be sort of spun off.
So good, Libby. So good. I think that hope is something that makes us all feel good. And I'm so glad that we've had this conversation about hope. If somebody wants to get in touch with you, what should they do? And we're going to put up a couple of things on the show notes page for sure.
Just go to my website, LibbyGill.com, LibbyGill.com. They can also, if they're interested in the coaching group, it's all over my social media, but just shoot me an email.
Okay.
Libby at LibbyGill.com. I'm happy to, we've got a core group that are just the never miss. We're working forward. We know each other really well. And it goes from Australia to Trinidad to Montreal and all across the States. And we started with what's happening where you are. And people wanted to talk about it. What's happening in the States? What's happening in the Caribbean? What's happening in Canada?
Beautiful. And
now we're on to.
I love that you brought people together under this. And like you said, some people have come and gone. You know, we've had people. I think what happens is people come together, like we have inside the Wealthy Speaker School. We have, let's say, about 50 people who have come together, and about 30 of them are really with us. They're in on every phone call. They're in on the coaching and the lessons. And we can see that they're really they're in on the Facebook page and they're all in and they're really engaging. And there's another percentage where, they may be joined, but they will be the first ones that probably hop off if times get tough, right? And so I think it's just really interesting to engage people very, very quickly and really find out what's important to them. That's something that we've identified as we want to grow from 50 to 500. We've really identified that that's something that's really important to do.
Me too. And my future business will be live events and everything else online. I mean, this has been a really good laboratory in a lot of ways to see. People are much less guarded. They're more willing to talk about who they are. Yeah. I mean, the lines are blurred. I saw your dog in there and, we know what we're wearing on the bottom.
Which right. We've got Lycra on the bottom. So we're party on the bottom, business on the
top. Right.
Yeah, the lines are very much blurred. And I think you're right. I think this is now a time for people to share that they are a little more vulnerable, perhaps, than, I watched this beautiful. Do you watch Jason Hewlett at all? He had just come back from doing an engagement in his town of Salt Lake City. The client had said, we're still going to go ahead and do this, but we're going to do it all virtually. And the speakers and all of the people that were going to be a part of the day would come into this one studio. And he was just so grateful. And he was so vulnerable. And that's what got me is that, and he's done this on numerous occasions and he's been on the show a few times too. But I just love it when people are willing to take off the cape and just show up. This is where I'm at, man. And it's not good. You curled up into a ball for 2 days.
Yeah.
I've been just going up and down I wish I would have curled up into a ball for 2 days and just got it all out of my system. Instead, on a weekly basis, I'm challenged on my mindset. And so it's just constantly, but I love your four steps. I think that I'm kind of right in the middle of doing them right now. And I love that I have a more clear roadmap for them.
Jane, you live them. You give people hope. You take baby speakers and all the way to the other end of the spectrum and say, your business is just going to keep getting better and better. It doesn't matter where you are in the process. So you have been so clear and consistent in your message, which is why those people gravitate towards you.
And, you know, I think in times of toughness, people are looking for that consistency, right? You know, let's just drop a podcast into your basket every Thursday, like clockwork, and not miss anything. And I think that people are like, okay, yeah. Things are okay. You know, some things are happening just like clockwork.
Like normal. Right, exactly.
Yeah, like normal. Well, Libby Gill, thank you so much for your time today. I've absolutely loved our conversation, as I knew I would. And The Hope-Driven Leader, is that your latest book?
Mm-hmm.
I think people might want to check that out, and we will put a link in the show notes. And I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Jane. Likewise.
Thank you. And for those of you who are listening in, hey, leave us a review. Let us know if you've been appreciating what it is that we've been saying here on the Wealthy Speaker Show. And with that, we will say, see you soon, Wealthy Speakers. Bye for now, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Would you like a chance to win a free virtual coaching session with Jane Atkinson? Go to speakerlauncher.com/win and follow the instructions there to be entered into the contest. Thanks for listening to the Wealthy Speaker Podcast.